time for Lickin' on Lending.
Welcome, everybody. Good to have you with us.
Welcome to Lickin' on Lending, a weekly mortgage market update providing up-to-the-minute information on interest rates, loan programs, and hot industry news, all related to the mortgage industry. Brought to you by Transformational Mortgage Solutions. To participate in today's program, our guest call-in line is 646-716-4972. And now here's your host of Lickin' on Lending, David Lickin.
Let's begin.
Welcome, everybody. It's Monday, October 22nd. We're back from the conference. We endured the floods here in Marble Falls, Texas, where I'm from, while we were gone. Talk about that. And we've got a new surprise joining us, hopefully on a regular basis. We continue to grow the podcast. Someone was telling me at the conference that they really like the openers, but I just heard it now. And, of course, Hamilton's one of my favorite plays of all time, and they're doing it rap. So we may have to get Paul to do a little more rap in that, but good job on that. Appreciate you all as the listeners. This podcast is created by mortgage professionals. It is for mortgage professionals. And guess what? We're grateful to have you as our listener. Now, we won some awards. That's all cool. But, you know, the best award we could get is get your commitment and let us bring you timely information in audio format. That's our commitment to you, and we're going to, so you can listen to it anytime and anywhere. There's something about the print, love curling up and reading something. But for our busy lives, sometimes audio is the most effective way to get what's going on. So much to be talked about and what we experienced at the conference. We're going to get into that as we do the roundtables. But today in the Hot Topics segment, we've got Phil Treadwell. He's a fellow podcaster. He's a 15-year veteran of the mortgage industry. He's got a lot of knowledge and expertise, and he was a top producer, and he's now a regional manager. So we're kind of get a perspective from the street, but also he has his own podcast. So we'd love to get you guys exposed to Phil and his podcast and vice versa. So good to have you all with us. Oh, yeah, thank you for your note. Someone just asked, did you survive the flooding? Yeah, we did. We keep saying in our podcast that we're podcasting from Austin, Texas. Well, I'm an hour west of that in a little community called Marble Falls. It wasn't on the map for most people until this last week, and we had a massive amount of rain that hit the Llano Basin. They call it the basin, which is the catch basin. There's so much rock around here. So the water ran into the Llano River. You saw the bridge, probably in the news, the bridge getting taken out. It flowed downstream. It flooded the island where my wife and I used to have a home. The houses survived, but every dock, it seems like maybe every dock's too much, but a good number of docks, majority of docks got wiped out, boathouses. We saw $80,000 boat after boat going over the Marble Falls Dam. After one dam, they would go over two dams. I mean, it's amazing he survived. And Joe Farr is just down the road, downstream from the Marble Falls Dam. I was amazed that his house didn't flood. But anyway, we survived it. We're back from Washington, D.C., and we've got a lot to report on. So let's get started. Anyway, special thank you goes out to our sponsors, the Mortgage Bankers Association. Our partnership with them was so evident when we were there. We're so grateful for the relationship. If you're not a member of the MBA, become a member. There's so many good things. I attended the Open Doors Foundation, what they're doing to help people stay in homes that are hitting legitimate crises. That was amazing. And I watched Chris George. I won't disclose what he gave, but it blew me away. That guy's a giver, and it's fun to see what he did there, how he got everyone just anting up, putting up a lot of money. I should make a special note. While there, David Stevens and his wife in absentia through their son-in-law was there and made a substantial donation. So it's fun to see what's going on with Open Doors. But the organization we want you definitely have to get a part of is MAA, Mortgage Action Alliance. What you do with this is you sign up and you're able to get, it's a click, guys. You just click this button and you're able to communicate and send in to your senator for your area, comment on bills that are important, show your support for what the MBA is trying to get done through legislature. It's a great tool. Check it out. Mortgage Bankers Association of America, Open Doors, MAA, Mortgage Action Alliance, all those good things. Also, a special thank you goes to Arch MI, creator of the innovative RateStar program, Black Knight, the leading provider of integrated software and data analytics solutions, as well as Open Mortgage, the leading buyer of reverse mortgages, which, by the way, allows you to make a lot more money. You need to check it out at their website, openmortgage.com. It's also the home of some of the top LOs in the country. We're members of two co-ops, the Lenders One Co-op, as well as the Mortgage Collaborative. Both of these organizations help you create competitive advantages, and it's a credit for you as the lender, as well as the vendors. They get to know each other. It's more of an intimate, up-close, and personal thing. Belmont the efficient mortgage marketing platform Knowledge Coop, which provides easy, fun learning about how you can get training your staff. Check out Knowledge Coop. Hear about them in a minute. Also, a special thank you goes to Alice, Andy, Allen, and Joe for their constant regular communications. I think we're going to be adding another name to that list here shortly. So without further ado, let's run over to Rob Van Raphorst, get the update from the MBA. Rob, what do you have for us, friend?
Hi, I'm Rob Van Raphorst. Welcome to the Mortgage Minute and the latest news from the Mortgage Bankers Association. Last week, MBA held its 2018 annual convention in Washington, D.C. The conference was an overwhelming success as new MBA President and CEO Bob Brooksmith gave a memorable speech detailing his priorities for the upcoming year. Also last week, the Treasury Department proposed guidelines for the Opportunity Zone program, which will help investors use a new tax incentive that encourages development in low-income areas. The rules for the program are designed to give businesses enough flexibility and certainty to start making major investments. And finally, MBA submitted comments on a multi-agency proposal to amend regulations implementing the Volcker Rule. MBA commented that we appreciate the intent of the proposal and its movement to a supervisory rather than a prescriptive approach. That's it for this week. I'm Rob Van Raphorst. We hope we saw you at the convention, and thanks again.
Yeah, good job, Rob. Appreciate that. One of the things we interact with Rob and the team there so much. There's so much going on there. We also had the privilege of doing a podcast, or we recorded future podcasts at the Empower event. Alice is with me. We got to sit down. We'll talk a little bit about that in her segment. Last week's podcast, I interviewed Bob Brooksmith. I am very encouraged about the leadership at the MBA. If you did not listen to last week's podcast, go back and listen to it. Listen to the comments Bob had to say, and you'll find why I'm so encouraged about the future of the MBA and where it's going. This week, for those of you that are following my speaking schedule, I am flying this afternoon to Oakland, California. Get there this evening, and I'm speaking tomorrow at the California Mortgage Expo. It's at the Oakland Airport. It's at the Hilton. Anyway, hey, I've handed out the business card. I've been talking about this digital business card. I've been handing this thing out at all the conferences. Normally, you take a stack of cards and you walk away with a stack of cards. Well, I did walk away with a stack of business cards, but instead of me giving out a stack, I used the digital business card. I encourage you to check it out at our website and take a look at how effective that can be. I'm getting all these notifications of people opening up the card. I get a notification, then they send back messages telling me how much they see this as the future, and they're now signing up for the digital business card. So be sure to do so. Check it out at our website, the digital business card. Let's run over to Les Parker and get an update on the TMS Spotlight, which is a macro view of the markets. Les, what you got?
TM Spotlight Soundbite is brought to you by LoanLogix. Fed can't stop this feeling. Deep inside of trade. Jay, you just don't realize what you do to trade. With the last increase in short-term rates, the Fed moved closer to eliminating accommodation. That is, Fed policy will soon be a drag on economic activity. Investors moan over the mix of uninspired U.S. stocks, weak inflation, and a gloomy international economic backdrop, and a red-hot U.S. economy. Will U.S. investors wager that inflation wins near-term over debt concerns in emerging markets? In the recent FOMC minutes, the Fed expressed its solidarity in fighting U.S. inflation and lowering the level in the punch bowl. So, will debtors go chug-chug? These views are my own. Go to tmspotlight.com to subscribe to my daily newsletter.
I normally get a chance to listen to that, what Les has recorded and what he and Gary Cantrobone put together, and I did not get a chance. So we started off with the oompa-pa, whatever it was at the beginning. That was hilarious, and so I was cracking. Sorry, I didn't mean to be laughing over your segment, Les Parker, because I know you're going to listen to this. Anyway, check it out, TMS Spotlight Soundbite. Get a macro view, and a lot of people use that. It's a hook to get you to read his newsletter because it's really in-depth, and it's very, very good. So anyway, Joe Farr, good to have you here with us, friend. That one cracked me up. I don't know why I get hit my funny bone, Joe, but What we did have coming downstream at you, well, at the Marble Falls Dam, looked like, I mean, it just flat out ran over, and I thought for sure your house was going to be gone, just gone, but it's not. You're here.
I got so lucky. I had, you know, minor damage to a little pump house, and you have to use a boat to get to my property right now, but once they release low water out, everything should be fine and up and running again. I didn't lose the pecan tree, which you and I sat out under one day.
Oh, yes. Love that pecan tree. It's a great place to sit. And it's so peaceful out there, folks. When you get there, you sit there, you just go like, oh, I don't know. You're so relaxing. So we'll give an ad. You can check this place out because you can go on the website and rent this place for family. They have their place, and then their his wife's sister has a place next door, and it is spectacular. How many people can you accommodate out there?
35.
13, 14? 35. Oh, my gosh. Yeah, we'll have a family reunion out there. Anyway, let's talk about the markets. What's going on the markets today, my friend?
Not a lot today. It's, you know, prices are about where they ended the day on Friday. There has been some volatility, and it's kind of been driven by volatility in the stock market. Last I looked, the stock market was down 140 points or so on the Dow. There was no economic data released today, so you know, it's just a little volatility going on, but not a lot of movement in the MBS market. And then looking at last week, Dave, mortgage rates rose a little bit, about 3 or 4 basis points during the week last week, and most of that rise occurred on Wednesday. You might remember the September 26th Fed statement from that meeting removed the reference to the Fed having an accommodative monetary policy. Just removed
right.
that.
Right. Yeah.
And then on this Wednesday, the minutes from that meeting came out and they were negative for mortgage rates. MBS prices fell 20-25 basis points after those minutes came out. What was revealed in those minutes included a couple things. One was that it referenced a few Fed members felt like they should describe their monetary policy as restrictive. You know, they took out accommodative, but they didn't add any other descriptive in. So a couple people felt like it should say restrictive. And then in addition, several members felt like temporary Fed hikes may be necessary in order to prevent inflation from overheating and continuing on a sustained basis. So, you know, a little more fear about the trajectory of inflation, not so much so in the long run, but on a temporary basis, a need to, you know, cool the economy just a little bit. So neither of those are in the policy now, but given that there is discussion among the members about those kinds of things caused investors to require higher yields, and as a result, MBS prices fell some on that day. The economic data that came out last week was really mixed, disappointing. Retail sales early in the week, but then the JOLTS report showed a record number of job openings. So, and then the housing data was both a little below expectations. Housing starts and existing home sales did fall below expectations. Looking at this week, it's really a pretty light week, light early part of the week for economic data. We don't have anything coming out today or tomorrow. The big events come out on Thursday and Friday, and those include an ECB meeting, which will conclude on Thursday, and then comments from Mario Draghi will follow. Pending home sales will also come out on Thursday at 10 o'clock Eastern time. Then the big events, first look at third quarter GDP. That's going to come out on Friday.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting.
Eastern time. Forecasts are for third quarter GDP growth to be on an annual rate of 3.3%. That's down from 4.2% rate during the second quarter. Consumer sentiment comes out at 10. It's always a significant indication of the consumer's attitude toward the economy and their potential likelihood to spend. So has become a bigger report of late. So that's it, Dave.
Good job. And then you watch what Trump said from the tarmac as he's flying off to another rally. And he says, I think the feds are nuts. They're crazy. What was the quote on that one? That was just like I'm going,
yeah.
Well, we'll see where that goes. It's never boring. Never boring with his commentary on things. That is for sure. Joe, it's good to have you here. Appreciate it so much. We're going to be right back with our surprise guest. Hopefully a new addition to the program right after this brief break. Good to have you with us, and so glad to have you be a part of our podcast. So let's go over to Open Mortgage and listen to The Science of Sales from Scott Gordon. Scott?
How many times have you been asked, what do you do? Too many to count. Most people answer with their job title. I'm a loan originator. Boring. Introducing yourself is an opportunity to communicate with story. Here are three steps to creating your story. 1. Invent a main character for the listener to play a part in the story. 2. Create an easy-to-follow series of events that pose a problem for the main character. And 3. Finish your story with a one-step description of what you do to solve the problem. When someone asks, "What do?" you could reply, "Imagine that you're a traveler in a foreign land, and what lies between you and your destination is a wilderness of quicksand, thorns, and overgrown trails. People can't brave the wilderness alone. To make it to the other side, you need a guide, and I am that guide. My team has the best track record of getting travelers through the wilderness without getting stuck in quicksand or lost." 3 steps to a simple story to answer one of the most common questions asked. This sounds too good to be true. It's not. It's just the science of sales.
Yeah, good job, Scott. That's a new one. We got some new ones that record. I'm always pushing to get some new stuff out there, but very, very pleased with that. Scott Gordon at Open Mortgage does a great job of talking about science sales, and it's because he's become a student of it. You know, it's amazing to some people who think, "I'm not a salesman. I'm not good at sales." Well, become a student of it as Scott has, and you may be surprised. Anyway, good job on that. Check out openmortgage.com while you're there. Look at the videos about how you can make more money with the reverse mortgage. So good. All right, you guys ready for the surprise? I am excited to announce, joining us today and hopefully on a regular basis, we have Jacob Gaffney, who is the editor-in-chief for Housing Wire. Jacob, good to have you here, friend.
Hey, great to be here. Thank you so much.
I just want our listeners to get to know you. Not only know you for what you, I think most of us know you for, Jacob, and that is you really do a great job of writing articles and stories and how you're guiding the whole editorial staff there. It's just really good. And love what you're doing there at the organization. And then as we started to get to know each other, we were both sitting at your conference. That was when I was referring to conferences earlier, how important it is to get to like the 2 co-op conferences. But we really, again, got together. We've gotten to know each other a little bit before this. We've interviewed you twice for podcasts, which we're coming up very shortly. We're ready to release those out. Very excited. I want to do this first, this introduction here, and we'll follow it up with the release of your podcast. But one of the things that we really synced up on is your conference, and it's Housing Wire's Engage Marketing. And it was an excellent event, and that's where Phil and I, our guest in the Hot Topic, really connected. Talk about a little bit of what's going on at Housing Wire as we begin to introduce you into this segment.
Well, for one, it's an honor to be a guest on the show. I'm always really impressed with the level of expertise on display and the people you bring together. So I feel like it's going to be a tough act to follow, especially with a lot of the spot-on economic commentary that we just listened to. I mean, so much. I'm thinking over that stuff so much as our coverage goes forward. But yeah, so you know, HousingWire, I've been doing this now for going on nearly 10 years. I was brought on when HousingWire was a blog to turn into a news organization. And, you know, we always let the work speak for itself. And then when I met you, David, you know, you talked a lot about, "Oh, hey, you're actually a nice guy." And, you know, it was funny. A lot of people seem surprised to find out that the editor-in-chief of HousingWire is actually a fairly decent human being. But there you have it. I am.
Yeah.
And we talk about the news and what's out there and what's available. And you kind of said, "You know what? Well, what about the news that isn't being reported?" And we've got a ton of that too. So that's kind of what I'm hoping to bring.
What's not being written about, what we're hearing and out there thematically. So we're going to be talking about this on a regular basis each week, Jacob, and we're going to talk a little bit about what we're hearing going on out there, because that is your full-time job, and I'm really excited about that segment. So let's start there. What are you hearing out there, Jacob?
Yeah, well, you know, the fact that Trump is calling the Fed nuts is nothing new. I thought that was great. He's short of his 4% GDP target, you know, so he wants a lower interest rate environment. But here's what's not being reported. Hey, the Fed has to raise interest rates so they can lower them again, right? I mean, there's no other way. The Fed has its hands tied here. You know, we are headed for an economic slowdown, which your guests are talking about, and they're spot on. You know, things are going to slow down. What's not being reported is economists like at the big banks, Bank of America, they're calling time on housing prices. They're now saying that we're reaching a peak. So you're going to start to see official reports coming out saying, look, these can't go anywhere. The CoreLogic report recently said that mortgage rates have now been rising to such a point where the house, the monthly mortgage payment is beginning to outpace the appreciation of the home. That's something that they're looking to. And going to what is facing economists, as we have a lot of economists who've joined, who have been reporting in positive times for some time. Now they're faced with the opposite, a potential slowdown, and they're falling all over each other, figuring out the best way to get the information now that things are beginning to start to reverse. So we're seeing a lot of interesting changes in the whole economics profession. You know, Redfin brought on someone from Amazon, and we can talk Amazon later. Economists now need to talk about people's behaviors a lot more, and that's what we're seeing, and especially on the loan origination side as well, as people want more data about people's behaviors, not just an individual isn't just a credit score anymore. So they're trying to figure out how social media impacts the peer behavior of our friends. If my friends are buying houses, I'll buy houses, right? So right now we don't see millennials buying homes like we wanted to, and if house prices are not going to start coming down, that's not going to change anytime soon. But who's going to sell them the house, right? Yeah, are they going to buy a house from Amazon? That's what everyone wants to know. That's what everyone's talking
exactly
about.
Exactly, right? The biggest question. What was really fun when we were sitting in Washington, D.C., was the commentary between Bill Emerson and Anthony Hsieh of course, the two kings in there. And Tony said to Bill, he says, well, we both know Amazon is probably going to buy one of us. And I thought, boy, is that a presumptuous comment. I'm not sure that would be – first of all, I don't think that's going to happen. Second of all, I don't think those two, if they are going to make an acquisition space, are not the candidates is what I suspect.
No.
So.
Yeah, and I think, that is precisely it, right? If Amazon's going to buy into the market, which if they are getting into the market, they're going to buy into the market. You know, we were the first to report that they were trying to get they're trying to form a mortgage division, and they learned really quick how difficult it is in terms of there was a compensation issue. You know, if you want the right people, you got to pay them. And there was a lot of issues with that. Amazon itself is not making a move, and people will sit there and point to it. And we have coverage of this in Housing Wire. Like, Anthony said that there was Anthony Hsieh said that there was a fintech barrier into Amazon getting into the space, and that there was too much problems within the mortgage industry. I can't say, David, from my seat, I can't say I 100% agree with that. I think the bigger issue is that Amazon is having internal issues currently. They can't keep the staff.
Yes.
They can't keep their own executives happy. They have to deal with that before they can continue to move in. So pause button, right? We're not talking
that's
about
that's exactly all it is.
Yeah, that's what's happening. You know, they'll keep dipping their toe in the water, and when they strike, it'll be hard and fast. But and how do I know this, right? How do I know this? What makes me more special than anybody else? Well, I see where the readers go to my site.
Yes.
I see what they're reading, right? And I know where they're coming from. And we, just like everyone else, we're a very, very commercially minded organization that tracks its audience very, very close, and we know our audience much better than you think we do. And I'm telling you, there's a lot of quants at Amazon who are reading Housing Wire, and when they're reading about Loan Depot, we know about it. When they're reading about Quicken Loans, we know about it. When they're doing research, well, that's a different behavior than news reading. So, when it's a Sunday and we get a surge, I think that there's ways to get indication. Now, I don't own a mortgage company like Loan Depot that could be the target of a Amazon acquisition. So, I would venture to say that truth is somewhere in between all of that. But that's the big one. And in other news, the thing that's not being reported, we talked about the MBS market beginning to come back. That is true. That is true. It is still slow, but it's coming back. New residential priced an MBS of non-QM loans.
Yep.
So those were originated by New Penn, serviced by Shell Point, et cetera. And that was a successful, nice private label securitization that we see going into place of these loans that, if you read about it, you know, in other major, you know, they'll probably say they're not prime mortgages, but these are fine. This is going to be a fine deal. And I think that we'll see more of those because earlier, I can tell you, let me see, it was late last week, a New York State Court of Appeals has said that breaches of contract in MBS deals are no longer enforceable. It's not something you'll read about in the news. It's not something that anyone's reported on at all. We're trying to get the bandwidth to get to it here at HousingWire. We'll see. But these so-called accrual clauses are being unenforceable. And in the actual deal was a Quicken Loans deal where Deutsche Bank was suing Quicken Loans for some pre-crisis deals. And the New York State Court of Appeals said, no, we're done with this. You know what? We're not seeing these cases anymore. You know, get over it. It's been nearly 10 years. We got to get on with our lives. So what that does is set the stage for a less litigious environment in order for these deals to begin going into. So, you know, we know the reps and warrants are much tidier these days than they were back then. But yeah, Now the enforceability just isn't there. So we're going to see, I think we're going to have to see with, especially with the interest rate rising environment, we're going to have to see the private label market begin to come back. So that's three things. Can we stop at three, or you want me to keep going? I'm not sure.
I'm just getting some text messages in. I love this new segment. This is great. I'm going to go read his articles right now. That's one. Another one just came in. It says, can you make this a hot topic? There's more to cover here than we have time in this short set. So the answer is, this is ahead. I've got some immediate feedback and more is coming in. Jacob, thank you so much for joining us today. Very exciting stuff.
Okay, so
you're welcome.
Note to self.
I know how
ramble
big,
and people will love it. Okay, that's it.
Well, I think there's so much going on, and I think because you have that unique view of what people are clicking on, that is of real interest, and that's why I'm so excited about our friendship, partnership, and working together. Partnership, loosely speaking, I mean, just working together and what's in the industry. That's what I mean. I don't want make it sound like there's anything more than that. But it's really good to have you on. Excited. You're welcome to stay on the whole topic and listen all the way through, or you can drop whichever your preference is.
Well, I love this show, so I'm going to listen to the whole thing.
All right. Good deal. Well, we'll be right back with a brief break from Knowledge Coop. Nathan's got a word for us. Nathan?
At the Knowledge Coop, we work hard to create training that engages and encourages our audience. Once people are engaged in training, they are more likely to stay focused and retain the information that they need to know. So here's your training tip for the week. Next time you have an important policy or bit of knowledge you need to train, do it in short clips and make sure you sprinkle it in with a little bit of humor. Video training is highly impactful, but only when done in the way we've been conditioned through TV. Videos should be no more than 5 minutes, should get to the point, and humor should be sprinkled through to emphasize the important points. Memories are more powerful when attached to an emotion. If you need help with your company's training, please reach out to us at knowledgecoop.com, and we'd be happy to assist. And that's your training minute from the Knowledge Coop, which strives for easy and fun training for the mortgage industry powered by a smart digital platform.
It is a smart digital platform, and it's excellent. Check it out, knowledgecoop.com. Ken Perry and I were together in Washington, D.C., and it was on Wednesday just before we both flew out. And I tell you, it's the innovation and the brilliance that goes on. I love innovation, which is just tied to brilliance, and it's so much fun to see what they're doing there. Speaking of brilliance and lots of innovation, Alice Alvey, good to have you here. It's fun being with you in D.C., especially at the Empower event, Alice. That was to be able to interview those gals that came out, the women that came out from that session. Wow. And then your ladies, you had your group over. That was awesome. So good to have you here.
Thank you. Yes, we had an awesome group there. Bill Cosgrove is very generous and participated in that program. There were 7 of us that went to the event and, of course, stayed for the entire conference. I would love to thank Marcia Davies again for pulling together such a terrific event and really just the ongoing support for women in the industry. Really, the concept behind it, for those of you who think, oh, wait, how do you have a women's event? It's not women's only, but the whole concept, I think the best way to put it is we all want to leave the industry better than when we started. And so we're all just here to try and pay it forward and help women advance equally in the mortgage industry. So it's a great event.
Yep.
But I'll go on.
It was a great event. It was fun to have you. It was fun having you join me at the table. And you were a little impressed. You go like, wow, look at all this equipment. This is pretty cool.
Yeah, Dave, you had the double microphone set up. It was loads of fun. There should, hopefully you got some good pictures there that you posted up on your website social media. So
yeah, give us an update. What's going on?
Well, just a quick update. You know, this time of year, especially in the final months of a particular session of Congress, everybody's home trying to get reelected or elected. There's not a whole heck of a lot going on. The one main thing that we will watch is the BCFP. Are you all practicing that? Do you have that converted now?
Say that again. We got to work that.
Financial protection, right? I think they still stumble on it at the conference. It was kind of fun to listen to.
Yes,
but
there was,
anyway.
It was so funny the number of people that said that. They said off script. CFPB is what it is. That was so funny. But yeah. Even some of the leaders said that. Anyway, yes. Yeah, that is the thing to be watching.
So they really are trying to be better. You know, we sit with them in a meeting and we now have this change of leadership there, even though temporary. We do get the sense that there at least somebody's listening. But the main thing that's pending is trying to understand how the BCFP plans to release HMDA 2018 data. So we should be watching for a rule and through the rulemaking process that we'll get some more information. Generally, that won't be till later in the year, but all of us want to make sure we understand what is actually going to be made public so that we're prepared for that as we're reporting our data. So, and you know what? That song that Les played, that Ooga Chukka, Ooga Chukka, I remember that.
Yeah,
I can't remember if it was the 60s or the 70s. I think that's a recent.
I know, Ooga Chukka.
With you. That was funny. Anyway, Bob Merrill spoke with me at the, he's from the FHFA. And he and I spoke on an education panel along with Bronwyn Morrissey, who does coaching for the sales origination side of the business.
Right.
And the three of us were on an MBA education panel. So I wanted to share with everything a couple of things that the Federal Housing Finance Agency is watching. They do expect with this margin compression that there is an increase in fraud. So they will be watching very closely for that. So they are pressing the GSEs, which of course means Fannie and Freddie will be pressing us to make sure that we are monitoring that very closely, that we're aware that fraud increases in times of margin compression and reduced volumes and the market conditions that we're expecting, and we take appropriate action for that. So heads up to everyone here that FIFA will be having Fannie and Freddie focus more on QC, that you're really paying attention to the defects. I know a lot of companies have watched a fluctuation in neighborhood watch numbers, too, as an example, although that's not FIFA. It's all kind of playing into the same theme of pay attention there. The other area that he brought up that they're watching is counterparty risk. Make sure that you've got all your vendor approval and vendor management processes in place. So that's a heads up from the Federal Housing Finance Agency at the conference. I already thanked Marcia Davies. That was awesome. And then I don't know if you can believe it, Dave, but somebody asked me if I could make a 2-1 buy down worksheet, and I was just amazed that, you know, where rates are today, people are actually going to talk about that. And does the math work as the market changes? Can we get money from the sellers to pay for that 2-1 buy down program? So I wondered if you were hearing that too.
Yes, and that's one of the things, Jacob, to jump in on this, all the rest, we'll talk about this a little bit later. We're running short on time here. I'm looking at the time and going, we're going to race through here. There is a lot more talk about there's new programs that never existed before. We're working on one right now that we're trying to get the market, we're meeting with the GSEs on, but there's also some redos of the past. So, Jacob, we're turning on your microphone here. Let's jump. Oh, I got to turn his microphone on. I just one quick comment. Are you hearing the same thing, Jacob, from a Housing Wire's perspective?
Yeah, same exact thing.
See there? That you heard it right from Jacob, editor-in-chief, so it's happening. All right, let's move on. Hey, Alice, thank you so much. Appreciate you joining us there at the sound booth, and it was awesome. So much fun. Let's run over to Alan Pollack with the tech update. Alan, fun to see you there. It was hard to connect with you there. Dude, we were both running hard. So what you got for us this week?
It was, but it was a lot of fun. And you're always busy. Walking down the hallway with you is like walking down with the mayor. You know, you have to stop and wave and talk to everybody. So that's a good
kiss
thing.
Kiss the babies. Say hi to everybody. I love it. Love the people.
Yeah, yeah. By the way, the song is Hooked on a Feeling. It's from the 1968 pop song, and it's from the movie Reservoir Dogs as well. So,
oh,
great
good
song,
job.
Great
good job.
So, good conference.
Any, was there anything? Real quickly, was there anything that just popped out to you from the conference on the tech front?
Yeah, data.
Any major announcements?
Like Jacob was saying earlier, behavioral data, everything data, which was amazing to me. Exos had a great entrance when you walked into the conference. I'll talk about that in a moment. But I really thought data was the key of the market. The protesters, too, by the way, which we didn't mention earlier.
Oh, yeah.
They stole a little bit of our spotlight for a little
bit. But they were not protesting the industry. They were only protesting Wells Fargo.
Wells Fargo. Predatory lending practices, yep. Right.
Yep.
Yeah, so, you know, ultimately, the big key I heard, you know, and I talked to a lot of folks on the vendor side as well as the lender side, is how do I leverage all this great technology? Continued conversation around LOS systems, what you can do, what you can't do, which ones are better. Although I got to tell you, you know, LOS systems have been a topic for a long, long time. I didn't hear a lot of complaints. You know, usually you hear, oh, this system's good, this system's not. What I heard more about was, this system has these features now where we're doing this with that. People seem to be proud of what they're actually doing. So I thought that was an interesting change. I've heard that once or twice. But again, a lot about data, how do we leverage data? And I think it's empowering a lot of the innovation that we're seeing. I saw a lot of e-services, OCR, which used to be a topic. Saw some folks talking about income calculations, doc prep. Of course, a lot of signing and closing services. There was a good session about innovation and valuations that I thought was interesting, topics that you know will be top of mind as we continue to look down the road. There was a great display from Exos, as I was mentioning. It's a service link company. Yep. They were displaying their new technology, which is an appraisal management ordering and delivery system. And you know they also have released and are now focusing on title appraisal closing and servicing platforms. And SPS, which we all know, Select Portfolio Servicing, has selected Exos, just announced, as their consumer digital platform. And then, of course, if you join, there's been a lot of news. I think, actually, Jacob, some of it may have think I saw on Housing Wire. You know, there was a session with Wells Fargo, Bank of America, Blend, and MERS, and they were talking about, you know, digital mortgages being at the tipping point. And quick highlights are really that borrowers are engaging. They're not necessarily always going through the whole process. They're holding on to that digital process for as much as they want. Wells says about a quarter of their applications are now digital. Bank of America says that next year they expect 50% of their applications to be digital. And, of course, they were talking about how Erica, their digital assistant, will play an important role. I also thought it was interesting that there is a lot of conversation around what do we do with data, right, and who are the data providers. And so I actually was searching, and I found an article that was about a company called Adam Data Services, and they actually are providing LendingTree with data that's used to pre-fill and validate all their property and ownership information in the transaction with property characteristics, including county and tax assessor data. So I thought that was kind of interesting. And, you know, CoreLogic also, they're known to be, you know, a big company with a lot of great data services, especially when you think of property and collateral. Well, there was an interesting article in the Washington Post about one in every 109 mortgage applications were found to contain some type of false or misleading information during the second quarter of this year, which is 12.4% compared to the second quarter of last year. And this is what they labeled the most important items of fraud are. They said income, occupancy, transaction, undisclosed real estate debt, and identity. And the first one that I mentioned, which was income, was 22% higher this year than last year. So I thought this was an interesting article because, yeah, we're talking about all this data, right? And we're talking about what we're doing and all these folks that are innovating all this great technology, and yet we're seeing an increase in data. Now, I'm not surprised it's income data, but we're seeing an increase. So I'm actually going to do a follow-up and see if I can get some more details on that. But if you just Google Washington Post and CoreLogic, you'll find the exact same article, which will lead you into their survey.
Find the article.
One last thing I want to leave everyone with is a brand new acronym in the industry, and it's called AUS Neutral Design, hashtag AND. That's right.
Man.
And it was – that's right. The Andy Higginbotham – and Andy, I'm sorry if I misspelled your name. He is the SVP of Strategic Delivery at Freddie Mac, and he said it is inevitable for workflow to not have this type of functionality. So we should expect to hear more of it. So hashtag AND, AUS Neutral Design. And by the way, that's the ability to call both government-sponsored enterprises for eligibility and underwriting information at the exact same time.
Oh, interesting. And the new acronym. We might as well add it to the list, the many, many lists out there. Absolutely. One of the sessions that I attended was on Wednesday, and it was the uniform everything, uniform application, uniform disclosure, uniform data, uniform, you know, the one security concept. I mean, it's a ton of, it's probably one of the best sessions. Very, very interesting. Alan, thanks so much for being with us. I appreciate it. Stay tuned in the Hot Topic segment. If you have the time, look forward to having you there. We'll be right back with this brief word from our friend Jim Jump at ArchMI.
Hi, David. ArchMI is happy to be a proud sponsor of the program. Today, I'd like to let your listeners know about RateStar from Arch Mortgage Insurance. RateStar makes it easy to choose what type of mortgage insurance coverage your loan needs. Quotes are delivered in seconds and represent our most competitive ArchMI rates based on the strength and quality of the loan application. That's the power of RateStar. Getting a mortgage insurance quote has never been so powerful or so simple. And with that, I'll turn it back to you, David.
Appreciate it so much. Great to be with the friends at ArchMI. Great reception, great partnership all the way around. Andy Schell, talk about a great partnership. This has been one that's been around for a long, long time. You and I have been together, working together. What words of wisdom do you have for us, my friend?
We have Dave, long, long time.
Yeah, we have been. Well, I mean, I just see this industry out there. I met with all the warehouse lenders. I saw them throwing these life preservers into the water and going, you mean there's that many sinking out there? I go, I've got to get the profit doctor on this. I mean, it is – we were sitting there talking to one of your friends, and Myers is someone who thinks the world of you, is Marina Walsh. And Marina and I were sitting and talking at the press session, and I was asking her about, you know, how many companies are profitable, and she said 77% of all companies are profitable. The next thing I said, if you were to remove servicing, how many are profitable? Now, this is Q2 data. We're looking for a bump up in Q3, and then Q4 is – I think it's going to be ugly beyond ugly. They said if we back out in Q2 servicing income, it was 56% of the companies were profitable. That is amazing. That means you've got job security all over the place, profit.
That's about half. Well, the other scary part about that, too, is if you take out the income from the funny money derivative asset, it drops even farther because there's companies that are on life support and dying and don't even realize it because of the funny money and the way the accounting's done.
Yes, that's why I brought it up, was your webinar. So give us an update, and then we're going to get off to the hot topic. But give us a quick update, friend.
Yes. So this Wednesday, we're talking about hedge accounting, and part of the hedge accounting includes the mark-to-market, which gets into the composition of the derivative asset, which is the thing that causes people to think they've got money when they don't. And we've got some tricks and tools to make it so that that isn't a colossal failure on a company. Several companies have failed this year because of misinterpretation of the component of the derivative asset, thinking it's going to convert to cash, and it never does. And we're going to talk all about that. So the last week's session was on hedging. You can get it through mba.org, download it, sign up for this session. It's Wednesday. And then that's session 4 out of 5, the fifth session's now next week, and that's advanced accounting. So real quick, drumming through the point I wanted to make, with all of this, well, it's exciting to hear the report from Alan and Jacob and you about the stuff at the conference, but there's also a lot of pain out there. There's exciting futures, but there's also pain in the present. And I want to try to help people get through the next 6 months and survive in their business and maximize the potential of their business. And so last week on Lickin' on Lending, I talked about measuring efficiency and driving capacity utilization and growing to the point of economies of scale. And sometimes that feels really fuzzy, and it's like, well, what does that mean, and how do I do it? And so here's some simplified points. I just wanted to kind of drive back to simplified points. And the things are, you have to measure. You can't manage unless you measure. So you got to measure, and you got to measure everything, and you've got to strive to improve every day. Every day needs to be better than the previous, and tomorrow is going to be better than today because we're going to do things to improve how we do what we do. And this is a perpetual process. This never ends. It's a constant, this is Kaizen from the Japanese. It's a continual focus on process improvement, process redesign. We don't just accept status quo. So in our world, we want to start with money, profit, measurement of metrics. We want to look at loan-level profitability and metric management. And so as I wrap up this in just probably 2 minutes here quickly, Dave, because I know we're running out of time, We got to know what's our profit per loan, what's our profit per originator, and what's our profit per branch. We also want to know all of our turn times as the file moves through the operation, including all of the pull through at various stages. But let's start with just the money part. There's tons of stuff to measure, and we know all the revenue, and we know all the expense. We know where all the revenue came from, all of our money that we collected, and we know where everything went. We know how much money we paid for rent and commissions. We know all this stuff. We even know how much money we expect to make on every single loan, because when we lock the loan, embedded in that price is our expected gain on sale. On the best effort side, that's really simple to track. On hedging, it's a little bit more complicated, but we still know what we hope to make. So from that, we do a little bit of math. It's not even really hard math. We're just going to apply some stuff down to the loan and then build it up, look at the products, look at the branches, look at the originators, and see how we're doing. We're going to measure our financial performance at all of these various areas. And what we may learn is that certain originators are actually not making the company any money because of all the concessions and the extensions that we have to pay for.
Yes.
Certain products might not be making us money. So Dave has heard me say this for the last 12 years that we've been together, but you've got to ROI everything, and you've got
yes.
to track every nickel. I hate bringing this kind of stuff up because it's like, oh, I'm so bored of having to hear him say these things.
It's not so obvious. The common sense isn't so common. That's so true.
Well, there you go, Dave. That was the main point, is let's just get back to basics. We got to get to the next 9 months, next 6 months for sure. Well, let's just get back to basics. Track our cash, track our revenue, track our expense. Don't take things for granted. Be mindful of the process, and let's focus on doing it better every day.
Yeah, it's good, Andy. Good stuff. Appreciate you being here with us, and I want you to participate in the Hot Topic segment. Check out the webinar. It's good stuff, folks. Andy Schell, the Profit Doctor, fixing what's ailing your bottom line, which is now over, probably over half of the industry is struggling with that. Folks, we're going to be right back with our special guest, Phil Treadwell, right after this brief break for an announcement from Black Knight.
As housing prices climb, U.S. homeowners are holding more capital equity than ever before. Effectively capturing the equity market could pose a unique challenge for lenders who may be limited by the capabilities of their current loan origination system or consumer lending platform. Lenders looking to streamline their home equity business processes can benefit from Black Knight's LoanSphere Empower loan origination system. Using this robust and intelligent technology, Empower can originate both first mortgages and home equity loans on the same system. This single configurable solution will help lenders improve margins, support regulatory requirements, and enhance customer satisfaction. To learn more about Empower, visit blackknightinc.com today.
Yeah, thrilled with the partnership with Black Knight. Do a good job. We've got so many podcasts that we've had that they've sponsored. It's been really, really good. Good to have you with us, everybody, and excited to have as our special guest today a fellow podcaster, Phil Treadwell. Phil, good to have you here, my friend.
It's very good to be here, Dave. Thanks for having me.
It was great meeting you and your wife at Jacob's event. Well, okay, it's a Housing Wire event, but Jacob and Housing Wire are kind of synonymous. So anyway, it was great meeting you and then watching you and watching us all do the podcast. We had a group of us podcasters at a breakfast table on Friday morning early, and we have agreed to do a mastermind. I'm excited about that. So we're getting that organized and launched, and it's really good to have you on the microphone. But for those of us, our listeners that may not know who Phil Treadwell is, introduce us to you and a little bit of your background, if you could.
Yeah, no problem. I appreciate it. It was great catching up at the Engage Marketing Summit at HousingWire and Jacob and everybody. It was a phenomenal event. Yeah, my background is always been on the sales and origination side of the mortgage business, about 15 years. You know, started in the origination side of the business, worked into, you know, being a branch manager, running branches, started a little broker shop years ago, right before the crash, if you will. Realized I didn't want to weather that storm alone, so I sold that to an extremely large company at the time and have worked in on a regional level or a branch level ever since. I don't originate anymore, but have managed teams and built sales teams in regions all over the country and really focused on the sales and marketing side of the business.
So let's get give a shout out to the company who's your employer right now. Who is that again?
Yeah, I've been with Highlands Residential Mortgage. We're a full service mortgage banker, direct Fannie and direct Ginnie, based in Dallas, Texas, and I manage branches in Arkansas, Missouri, Oklahoma, right in the center part of the country.
And we're going to talk about your podcast in just a minute, but what are some of the things that you're recognizing as trends? What on the production side? Our podcast, your podcast, is directed towards the originators. Ours is directed more towards the C-suite and all the trends going on at the ownership level, at the executive level, and then through the operational side. So we're really interested in bringing your perspective of what's going on in the production side of the business. How's everyone's attitudes out there with production down and interest rates up?
Yeah, it's been a mixture. I think, you know, part of the cause that we're championing with our podcast is, you know, we all know that we all have a bright future in the business, as a lot of your guests have talked about, and there's a lot of things that are changing. And to Andy's point, there's still 6 months, 12 months of some challenges. And I think people on the ground, you know, on the retail level, on a branch level, are noticing margin compression when you talk about rate shoppers, when you talk about increase in interest rates and, you know, how that affects volume overall. But I also think that those types of things lead to a market where the people that are career originators, that are building their businesses, have an opportunity to really grow. If you look historically at corrections, if you look at it tightening, those are the opportunities where people could really build their business and capture the market. Because I think at, you know, the conference last week, they said that close to 30% of the originators in the business may move on to other things, which means just by sticking it out and continuing to build your business, your volume is going to grow. And so we talk a lot about how do you capture that market. We focus specifically on the marketing side of the business, providing value, providing great content. And I think the unique perspective that I try to bring is, you know, I've been in the business 15 years, but I'm pretty much the original millennial. I was born in 82 and I graduated in the year 2000. But all of my mentors and coaches in the business have been in older generations, in baby boomers or Gen Xers. So I was taught the old school way, if you will, those long-standing success principles in the mortgage business, but I still have the proclivities or the technology, the way that millennials want to be to do business and want to be marketed to.
Yeah.
So that's one of the things we talk about, is taking those old-school, long-standing
principles
and just applying them in a millennial world.
Are you talking about those on your podcast? Because, man, we're looking for resources. Everyone's looking for resources on how to talk to millennials, how to work with them. It's like so many people are saying, I'm so sick and tired of hearing about millennials. I said, you better not be, because they're going to represent over 50% of the market here soon. So is that one of the topics that you're covering on your podcast?
That's a huge topic that we talk about, is understanding your audience, understanding who it is you're trying to reach. You know, 10 or 15 years ago, just picking up the phone and talking on the phone, or 20 years ago, that was the way things were done. But, you know, we just recently had a guest, Derek Cheney, who was on, and he made the comment. He said, I have, you know, two daughters that are, I think, 11 and 13. He said, if you called them on the phone, they wouldn't know what to do. You know, they're used to using whatever the native app is at the time, or texting or other means of communication. And so I think whenever people are talking about adding value and creating good content, I think as an industry as a whole, we're understanding that. But the delivery method is something that people really have to think about. Where are people's time and attention being spent? And we have something that we talk about in the podcast, is that effective marketing, balance of trust and attention. You've got to get the right type of content in front of people wherever their attention is at, and garner that trust that in markets like this, people want to do business with you.
It's so funny. I'm getting text messages in from our listeners right now. And so several of them, first of all, listeners, we are going to go run a little longer than this podcast. I'm just telling you, we're running a little bit longer than an hour. Had so much to talk about. But several are saying, Lincoln, would you tell us what this podcast name is? You're being rude. What is this? So tell everybody, for those that are texting me. We'll get that. We'll mention it again. But what is the name of your podcast?
Yeah, our podcast is Mortgage Marketing Experts Podcast. And you can find us on iTunes, Google Play. You can, if you have an Alexa, say, Alexa, play the Mortgage Marketing Expert Podcast.
That's too funny.
Syndicated across all podcast channels. But yes, we focus a lot on the marketing aspect and talk about ways to reach millennials. But we also talk a lot about the mindset, and we talk a lot about success habits. We have some of the elite mortgage personalities out there that are coaches and top producers and people that run big organizations, smart, experienced people like yourself. And I appreciate you being a guest on our podcast as well.
Well, it was good. It was really good we were there. Let's talk about that event. You brought it up, so we're going to bring Jacob back on the phone and talk a little bit about that event, that marketing event. And, Jacob, that was one of the best marketing conferences I have attended. And you, first of all, acknowledge there was – how many podcasters were there, Phil? I mean, there was five of us sitting around the table that I knew of. I think there's probably more there. And then yours – podcast, Jacob, that you're actually starting to put out a little bit more. So you're really tracking it. Talk about the marketing, what you're seeing from your perspective in light of what Phil just said.
Well, I was humbled to be a guest on Phil's show recently as well, and we talked about marketing. So I think I would like to promote listeners to go over there as well. But I agree. I think staying the course right now is a big part of how to market yourself. There are people who are leaving the market, and it is not just that. It's the, as we talked about, the digital trends going, for the major lenders, they are looking more and more towards digital solutions that will enable them to reduce their workforce more and more. Bank of America has cut about a third of its people because of the digital technology it's implemented. So as we talk more and more about millennials, they will want someone to speak to. They will want someone who is able to connect them with the right products that they need. They'll see through it. And back to the conference, I do want to clarify one thing, is that the organization of Engage Marketing was to the credit of Sarah Wheeler in our at Housing Wire. So if you guys love the show, I do think Sarah needs to get a hat tip for that. She drove the organization.
Yeah, she works. Yeah, she's one of those quiet voices that works behind the scenes that does an amazing job there. She is, and her humility. I love humble people, Jacob, and she is just so gracious and humble.
She's an amazing person to work with, and you're spot on. And getting the people involved and all that, and we're going to continue to do the show. Everyone who came, the support of the podcasters made the event successful. It was a great way for people, as I told Phil, everyone has a product, a marketing product to sell you. But which ones are worth buying? And that's where experts such as Phil come in, because I know a couple of real estate agents that spend five figures a year in marketing materials. I mean, that's how much of that is money out the door, right? It's just ridiculous. And now with emerging tech. Yeah, right. Well, now with emerging tech, everyone's got something that they can sell you, and half the time you don't even know what it is. So when we start to get into the other things, and Phil and I talked about this, when we get into blockchain and Bitcoin transactions for mortgages and stuff like that, how do you even run one of those transactions? What do you do if someone, a foreign buyer, for example, approaches you about getting a debt product in a cryptocurrency? What's going on? So that's why voices such as yours, such as Phil's, are just going to be vital going forward.
Yeah, it seems more and more evident. Alan, let's get over to you and ask a question that you would have of Phil as a good regional central part of the country. Any questions you have for him? And then we're going to go to Joe and Andy.
Sure, Phil. You can imagine my question is really going to be about technology. And, you hear a lot of stories about folks. Yeah, you hear a lot of stories about folks that could be changing the location of where they originate loans or their relationship based on technology. How much are you seeing that's true, and does it play into the marketing side of the fence, the top of the funnel, as we hear a lot of people say? Curious of your opinion there.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I think a lot of that conversation is happening, and I think the mortgage industry as a whole has been okay in the past not being at the top of the funnel. They were okay getting referrals and not necessarily capturing that lead themselves. But I think right now, especially in the environment that we're in, it's becoming much more important to control that lead from the very beginning, as opposed to be dependent as much upon referrals. And I think technology is going to play a huge role in that when it comes to engaging, whether that's consumer direct or whether that's creating value and creating referrals from real estate professionals. But I think part of what gets lost in that conversation is that you still have to have the human element when it comes to the origination process and the mortgage process. Millennials and a lot of generations, not just millennials, the Realtor Association puts out their generation report. It shows that technology trends across all generations. But I think the part that people really need to remember is we want to market to them and create their attention and create engagement with technology, but that won't replace the human element. They still want to talk to someone or communicate with someone about their individual situation and ask specific questions. And that's something that's going to be very difficult for technology to replace.
I was hoping you would go there. It sounds like you're saying augmented reality, almost where you wear some glasses, and when you engage humanly with somebody, it in your glasses, it shows you what they're eligible for, and you can just continue to talk like you already knew all that information.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that there's a lot of ways to communicate and a lot of cool technology that's coming out, so long as that it's paired with the human element, not trying to replace it.
Yeah, right, exactly right. What's really interesting, one of my trips into Austin, I met a couple flying in, and they said, "Yeah, we just bought a home." I said, "In Austin," and they said, "And they're a millennial couple. They're flying in from Boston." And he says, "Yeah." He says, "So, well, how many times did you come here? Did you find a loan officer? I was just interested about the process." He says, "Oh no," he says, "We started looking at where we wanted to live in the United States. We own a tech company. We're going to move it out of Boston. We're moving it somewhere. So we had various cities. We did all the research, and then what happened is we said, oh, we really like Georgetown, part of just north of Austin. We really like the Georgetown community, so we settled in on that." And they said, "Well, let's talk to a loan officer." And it started with the loan officer, so that started the process. And then the loan officer recommended a realtor, which is why this is one of the trends that is going on out there, and it's taking on more and more momentum. They never went and visited the house once. This is the first time they're doing it. The Google glasses, the all this technology, they wanted to talk to someone, but not necessarily a person, and it was lossless texting. They looked at homes with a realtor walking them through with a FaceTime walk through the house. They'd say, "Okay, yeah, go back to this room. How big is the kitchen? Tell me about that." That was really interesting. They closed on that home through electronic signatures. They were just flying in to see the home physically in person for the first time. I was floored. He said, "No, that's going to be the new reality," is what we think. Joe Farr, let's get over to you. Get your comments and questions in with any questions for Phil.
Well, you know, loan officers have been experiencing the difficulties of rising rates and wanted to get your advice, Phil, on how you suggest loan officers deal with that, and do you cover that in the podcast, and or do you just take the approach that it's not in your control and try to stay out of that aspect of it?
Yeah, no, that's another topic we talk a lot about, and it is a great question, because in this environment, there are some originators that have not had to deal with this type of environment with raising rates, and the advice that we give and that our experts give are that, number one, education is key. Letting your borrowers know what's happening and why it's happening is a huge piece of combating increased interest rates. If you're not communicating with your borrowers in your pipeline and you've pre-approved someone at one interest rate and they call you back 2 or 3 months later, your interest rates that you're delivering is going to be a lot higher. If you didn't communicate with them at all, it's going to be a very difficult discussion, and they're immediately going to start shopping you. Where if you continue to keep them updated along the way and let them know what's happening and why, and there's some great market tools out there that, you know, to utilize to understand what's going on in the bond market and what's affecting interest rates, that's a big key of it. And the other thing that we like to talk about, especially in the margin compression conversation when it comes to rates and fees, is there's a lot of companies out there that are trying to commoditize the mortgage industry. Jacob Gaffney, whenever he was on our podcast, talked a lot about it. We talked a lot about it with other guests. Digital mortgages are going to be a great way to cut costs. There's lots of ways to cut costs, but just saying you have competitive rates and fees and that's it, and just commoditizing a mortgage, I think is a losing effort. There's companies that want to squish the human element, that just want to make it about dollars and cents. And there may be a small segment of borrowers that want to do that, but you can look at other industries like, you know, financial services, where you buy and sell stocks and bonds and things online for a low flat fee, but there's still a human element where someone wants an advisor. So we really talk about being a mortgage advisor and understanding that interest rate and fees are very important. You need to be competitive, but it's also a get what you pay for. And, you know, you can add a lot of value in addition to that. And all of those things added together, depending on what someone's focus is, are ways to help combat, you know, the rate conversation.
That is really, really good. Prophet Doctor, I'm just getting a text message in from someone who says, I want to know more how I could get to listen to it. I'm thinking of your son, James, because he is such a podcasting. He listens to our podcast. He's such a thirsty for knowledge. I don't know if it's this his text or not, but it's one saying, we want to learn more. We've got to hear about that. So we'll give that information in just a minute, listeners. Andy Schell, what you got for our friend, our guest, Phil Treadwell?
Well, a couple of real quick points. Great hearing you speak, Phil. I think that I align really nicely with your philosophy. So I wanted to start by just making a statement and see to what extent you agree with me, and then I had a follow-up question. So, you know, Dave and I are what people would consider old now, but we grew up in a time where there
really
was no
old
secret sauce.
Yeah,
I know. So we're both 60-plus. So we grew up in a world where there's not really a secret sauce to this. It's you have to have a purpose. You have to have a focus, and it takes hard work, and there's other things to come together with that. But despite all the technology noise and all the rest of it, do you agree with that?
Yes, absolutely. All of the success that I've had in any arena, whether it's professional or personal, have been directly related to very basic principles. I've had a lot of mentors. I've had a lot of coaches, and we highly recommend that. You know, we preach the three E's: effort, effectiveness, and efficiency. And effort's what we do.
Yes.
Effectiveness is what we do right, and efficiency is doubling down on what we do right. And we talk a lot about that and keeping it simple and taking basic steps. There's all kinds of stuff out there that people can do, but we really recommend that people focus on one or two things and do it consistently and persistently over time, and people will win. It's whenever they try to jump from one thing to another, and that is one difficulty with some of the younger generations, is they want to see results quickly, and so we bring in the mindset aspect of it on our teams at Highlands, and you know, just all of our audience as a whole, that you everything takes time. You've got to focus on the basics and do it consistently and persistently, and you'll get ahead that way.
Exactly. Great. Perfectly said. So now here's my quick question. How do you, within your podcast, rise from the crowd? How do you differentiate what you do and how you do it in a way that gets you the spotlight you deserve?
Great question.
That is a great question. And we get a lot of questions about, you know, our podcast and how we've, you know, gained a lot of attention quickly. And I think, you know, at the end of the day, we just put information out there that we wanted to listen to. I was very focused as a regional on helping my originators build their business and focus sales and marketing efforts. And so we started putting content out there on social media on that topic. And the Mortgage Marketing Expert podcast was what we wanted to hear about and what we wanted other people to talk about. And so I think where people get confused with differentiation is they try to look at everyone else and try to do something different that isn't necessarily genuine or authentic to what it is they're trying to do. And so for my purpose from the very beginning was to help my team build their business and to help grow my region for my company. And a big part of my focus was on sales and marketing efforts and recruiting efforts. And so that was the type of content we put out and we're sharing with other people and then collaborated with others on that topic. So, you know, differentiation and creating awareness for a podcast or for any other brand is as simple as finding something that's authentic and real, and then going out there and finding other people that want to hear it and collaborating with them, and again, just doing it consistently and persistently over time.
Well, I'm gonna listen. You sound like you really know your stuff and have a real solid perspective on what's real, and get rid of all this fluff and all the noise. And sometimes people are sitting there at their computer Googling, how do I call a realtor, when they should just pick up the phone. So I get frustrated with talking to originators who are all talk and no action. And sometimes you just got to move, right? You got to take that first step. But it sounds great. I'm looking forward to hearing your podcast. Thanks for being on Licking on Lending.
Well, thank you so much for the kind words. I appreciate it.
Yeah. I think we get a lot of texts going, man, I love this guy. One guy just wrote, says, I want to work for someone like this. I like the way he communicates. I mean, there's some great feedback coming
that's
in.
Great.
We got to wrap this up. So, again, how can people get a hold of you, Phil? What's the preferred method? Email, phone, texting? Obviously, we want your podcast address again, the website address.
Absolutely. So I work for Highlands Residential Mortgage. Easiest way to get a hold of me is through email. It's Phil, P-H-I-L, at philtreadwell.com. You can go to my website, philtreadwell.com, and reach me by phone that way. Pretty much all of my social media handles are at Phil Treadwell. And the podcast is the Mortgage Marketing Expert Podcast. We're on all of the big platforms, iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, Alexa. And if you want to stream the episodes online, it's also mortgagemarketingexpert.com.
Yes, mortgagemarketingexpert.com. You'll not be disappointed, listeners, if you dial in, listen. It's a great perspective, even for some of you executives. Get in there. Listen, it's great stuff. Phil, thanks so much for being with us today. Really, really appreciate it.
David, thank you so much for having me on. I want to reiterate that I appreciate so much what you have done and what you're doing for this industry. You've been a huge inspiration to many of us who have been out there, you know, doing podcasts and have learned and grown our business along the way directly because of what you and your team has been doing. So we greatly appreciate what you've done.
Well, thank you. That's very kind of you. I really appreciate it. Go check out the podcast. Hard to receive that sometimes. I appreciate those words are said to us more than you know, Phil, and it means a heart. But it's really about helping people out there, and it's so good to have you doing that as well. So check out Mortgage Marketing Expert Jacob Gaffney. So good to have you with us and joining on this week. So much fun. Thank you for chiming in, and hopefully have you back each and every week from this point on. Really enjoyed it.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
You betcha, Andy, Joe, and Alan. Alice has already had to cut and run, got a meeting she went to, but thank you guys as well for being here. Listeners, it has been great to be here with us. Next week, we've got Jake Adams and Adam Constantine of Movement Mortgage. They're going to be talking about what's going on in this industry and what they're doing to capture eyeballs and bring business into their business, into Movement Mortgage. We met these two guys. They're, first of all, so tall. They're professional athletes. You can only imagine they must have been receivers like Casey. Those two are amazing. Jacob, you've had them. You had them at your conference. You had Adam there. Was that right? You had Adam?
Yeah. He's probably 6'4", 250. I think he kind of fills the room. Yeah, that's it.
Oh, yeah. And then he stood next to Alex Kuchitson of Sales Boomerang. And, oh, my God, Alex came maybe to his belt. It was pretty funny. Anyway, check it out next week. We're going to be back with those two as guests. We appreciate you as listeners. Again, special thank you to our sponsors, ArchMI, Black Knight, Motivity Solutions, Open Mortgage, the MBA, Lenders One, Mortgage Collaborative, Velma, Knowledge Group, CardTap, and Vidyard. So many. Thank you so much to all of you all for being here with us. That wraps it for this week. Look forward to having you back here next week. Have a great week, everybody. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to Lickin' on Lending, a weekly mortgage market update with your host, David Lickin of Transformational Mortgage Solutions. Join us next week, and thanks for listening.